You are listening to station WGN.
Oh, a microphony!
And a phony at the mic! Yeah. Whoa!
And radio became an accepted vehicle for nationwide news and opinion.
Notify all radio and TV stations to broadcast the following message.
Oh, is that the comedy spot?
No, Bubblehead, this is a comedy spot.
You're a fun guy, Dave. You're lonely on an island.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
And now, live from the Skyline Studios, here's Dave Plyer.
All right. It's not Dave Plyer. It's actually Jerry Nunn, and I am filling in for Dave Plyer for the next 3 hours, and I am super excited to be here. My name is Jerry Nunn. That's N-U-N-N from nunnontherun.com. I'm a writer, if you guys don't know me. I write for Windy City Times and several other publications in Chicago, and I am usually on with Bill and Wendy once a month, where I talk about fun things to do in the city. And have a great time with that. And it's such an honor to be here at 2 a.m. in the morning and be here for the next 3 hours. Some really fun guests coming up for you guys, all the listeners out there. So I'll kind of go through those real quick. Excited to have Curtis as my producer here today. And we're going to be talking back and forth about some movies, some fun news, stuff like that. And then Roger Badish is up there in the news. Excited to see him. He's waving there.
How you doing, Jerry?
Good to have Roger. You here. Hey, Roger. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that you're here.
My pleasure.
You're the best.
Oh, gosh. You're so sweet and nice and wonderful, and I haven't heard that in at least a week, so thank you.
Well, I love it when the news people talk and mm-hmm. have fun, and we get to be interactive, and so feel free to jump in whenever you want.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay. So as far as the guests that we have coming up today that you guys can listen to, and we're going to ask them some questions and get to know them. So we have Garib Sheamus. He's the CEO of Ace Universe, which is the Ace Comic-Con convention. So comic convention that's coming to Rosemont next weekend. And he is the CEO of this, and he's a pop culture expert. This is one of the largest Comic-Cons that they have, and it gets the big names. This one is off the hook with the celebrities, so I'm super excited to talk to him and find out how he gets all these people. And he's actually an artist, so we're going to talk about his art and everything. Excited about him being here. We have Mark Kwiatkowski, who is the Replay Linkin Park owner. So if you guys are familiar with Replay Linkin Park, it is a bar where it's interactive, where you can play all the video games. I mean, the old school games, the Donkey Kong Jr., the Pac-Man, you know, you've got all of that, the pinball games. And then they do pop-ups there, which are really amazing. They're going to do It. Stephen King's It is the theme for Halloween, I believe. So Mark's going to actually come down and be in the studio with us and hang out and hear more about all these great pop-ups and things that he has. And then at the end, we have Belinda Chang, who is a lifestyle expert, and she is going to help me fix my life. And she's a wine expert. So we're going to talk to her towards the end of the show. So some really fun guests, and I wanted to just get some people to come in and talk to me and call in and keep this show going. So
I'm wondering, your last guest, the life coach.
Yes.
Are we going to do pairings? Like, depending on what you need to work on in your life, will she work on wine pairings for whatever it is?
Possibly. I mean, a good blend is going to help you out.
Yeah, I think so. That would be cool.
She she managed, you know, Charlie Trotter's wine cellar.
Really?
So, yeah, she doesn't play around. This is not
that is serious.
Yeah, so she's got a really good background. So we'll talk about, I think maybe we could figure out what wine is good for each person and things like that.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I know what I like, but maybe I haven't tried something that's better. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, feel free to hop in and ask her a question.
Well, that'd be great.
And we'll find out, you know, what's the best wine for you.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. It's really kind of a different group of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not easy to book this time because it's, you know, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
That's right. So yeah, especially in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, on a Sunday morning.
Right. Yeah. Well, Mark's going to come down, and I'm really excited to have somebody face-to-face and then some phone calls. But
And I love the Comic-Con. I'm a big comics. Oh,
yeah, you had comics that you were giving away, right?
I was doing a life cleansing about 4 years ago.
He plays the Harry Potter game during the commercial breaks.
Yes, I do.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
The Harry Potter game.
I've got the what is it called? The app. I forgot what it was called now. I should
Gryffindor.
It's like the Harry Potter version of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So you hunt down like the griffins and the yes. Oh, you're holding up.
Yeah, it's the actual app, and so I'm already on level 22.
Well, look at you. How much do you have to pay for each round?
Nothing.
Oh, so they don't.
You can play it for free, but if you want to like buy keys and coins and this and that, you can spend money, but it's also to play for free.
That's how they
and
get
you. And so, you know, sometimes it kind of helps me focus on what I need to do.
Or get distracted.
No, distracted. Never. Me distracted? Never.
Yeah, I just went to L.A. and went to Universal Studios, and I went to Harry Potter World.
How was it?
It was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, the snow-capped castle is just so cool, you know, because it's hot there in L.A. Yeah. You're seeing all this. But it's a whole immersive experience. I mean, you walk in and, you know, they have the beer that you can drink.
Yeah, the butter beer.
The butter beer, yeah.
Yes, that's a big thing. And it's hot, so you probably want to drink a lot of butter. And there's, you know, the different rides. I mean, there's the 4D ride where you're just all over the place. You want to make sure and eat lunch after.
Okay, I'll remember that. Yeah. Good.
And you know what happened when I was on it?
What?
It stopped in the middle of the air. So we're flying on the broomsticks, right? So you fly on the broomsticks and it feels like it's real. So I was hanging there and it stops and the lights kind of come up and it was a blank screen and I was hanging there and I was so, my anxiety just kicked up a huge notch. Yeah, because I was like, what if this thing just opens and I fall? Like, what happens? And so it eventually started going again. And when I got off the ride, I go, what happened? I asked one of the workers there.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, someone decided they wanted to get off. And I'm like, you just ruined the whole experience for everybody. Yeah. I couldn't believe that.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I can understand for that person.
Yeah.
But if you think you might not like a ride or not, you know, feel comfortable.
Right.
Don't go on it in the first place.
Exactly. And so that just scared me. It scared me more than the whole ride.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because I was hanging there like a pinata. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How far down was the fall, do you think?
I mean, it's a good little, you know, jump.
Well,
because it doesn't move around a lot, right? It's, it's all, you know, with the video screens and all that.
I gotcha.
But you're, you know, all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. So, did you go on the what is the Hagrid's ride?
Did you go on the little roller coaster? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more for little kids. I was kind of like,
Really?
Yeah.
It's just for the kids. Yeah.
It's mainly for the kids. But, I mean, that's fine. They deserve it.
Yeah. So, it looked like fun, you know.
Well, we can talk about Universal Studios all we want when we get back. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back. All right. Well, this is Jerry Nunn. I am filling in for Dave Plyer this morning, and I'm so honored to be here. That's Jerry Nunn from nunontherun.com. I'm a writer, entertainment writer. We have some great entertaining guests coming in. One of them just arrived, so get ready, kids. We're going to have a really great show. So honored to be here for Dave Plyer, and I love this kind of morning time slot. It gets my Sundays going, and the nun is going to take you guys to church today. So we have lots of great events I want to talk about in October. So I want people to get ready for Halloween. I don't know if people have started decorating yet, but I am all about the decorations. I just started, got my house decorated, my office decorated, and I'm thinking of costumes. Are you guys ready for
Halloween?
I am so ready. I lived out in the suburbs.
Okay.
So one of the fun things to do out there is we have the world's largest corn maze. I don't know if that's completely accurate, but the Richardson's Adventure Farm, which always has a different theme of a corn maze every single year. It's like 8 acres of corn that they carve out into something unique, and you get to find different checkpoints and that sort of thing. And
there's a bunch of other fun.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Okay.
Pumpkin patch, petting zoo, train ride, like all the little stuff to take a family out towards.
A petting zoo?
Yeah.
I'm ready. Get me out there. I was supposed to go to like a pumpkin maze yesterday, and it was in Lyle. And I just did not have time to go. I went to a Halloween show instead.
Okay.
Yeah, Hell in a Handbag is doing a parody kind of fun thing with Facts of Life, the TV show. Remember old TV show?
Sure.
So it's called Satan's School for Girls. And so it's you know, Mrs. Garrett is, you know, running a school for Satan worshipers. And it's just a hoot. I mean, they found a way to tie it into Halloween.
It's a happy little story.
You know what? It was really fun. My friend Ed Jones is playing Mrs. Garrett, and he's so good.
That's great.
I mean, you would think Charlotte Ray was like right there.
Oh,
her
my
ghost
gosh.
Would come back. So this is at Hamburger Mary's, if you guys know where that is, up in Andersonville. It's at Mary's Attic, and it runs through November 2nd. That's at 5400 North Clark Street. So Eastland is in for quite a ride. That school with, wow. You know, you got all the characters, Natalie, sure. And Tootie and Blair and Joe, and they're all there and played by these really fun actors and a lot of fun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, Roger, are you ready for Halloween?
I'm getting ready. I've actually put in an order. This will be the first year that I've ordered a costume. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be made custom made. And I have a friend who I think is working on it. I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. We just made contact, and so we'll see. I'll be wearing it that probably both weekends. Because you know, Halloween's like I think on a Thursday or a Friday or something like that.
It's a Thursday.
So I may wear it the weekend before, and then the weekend right after, leading right after the holiday. So.
But you won't tell us what it is.
I don't know. I don't want to like. Say what it is, and then I don't have it in time.
Okay.
And then I got to get out last year's, which was Mr. Potato Head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those with the cost with the fan in it that kind of makes it.
Oh, the big blow up.
Yeah,
ones.
Right.
Oh, good.
And if I do get it, I want it to be a real surprise. Let me put it this way: for those who know me well from one of my previous jobs. It's going to be the perfect costume.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So we're working.
Superhero? Is this going to be a superhero?
No.
Give me that?
No. You know what? I did the superhero one year when we went to the costume shop.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
And I was Doctor Strange. It felt really good.
You were funny.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Well, it fits you. Doctor Strange.
Thank goodness.
Roger Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am strange anyway, so that's why it fit.
It was so funny. Yeah, those were a lot of fun to make those videos.
Yeah, it was.
I've already been to a haunted house, guys.
Yeah?
I already went to one.
The 13th floor.
Wait, already?
13th floor, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, out in Melrose Park. So,
I mean, that one's super fun.
It was really fun. You know, it's a good size. Like, it's not too big and not too little. So you feel like you get your money's worth.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we had a great time. I mean, now you're going to have to start getting into the VIP prices because it's only going to get busier and crazier.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sure.
So,
and it's safe for all ages, or is it more adult-oriented?
I would say, yeah, it's pretty adult.
Okay.
My friends, one time I screamed and my friends were like, I've never even heard a noise like that come out of you. So if it got me, you know, I mean, I'm pretty jaded with the haunted houses. I've been doing them for so long.
Wow.
So, yeah, there was crawl spaces, pop out monsters. There was a scary nun in there, which is perfect for me, you know. So it was a lot of fun. So that's out of Melrose Park. That's a 1940 George Street, so it's a little bit of a trek from the city, but definitely worth it. And not as far as some of them are really far away. People can get tickets at 13thfloorchicago.com. I recommend looking on the calendar and making sure you know it's running at that time and get there right when it opens and get in line.
Cool, because lines can get long, I presume, with these things.
Definitely get
long. Yeah, okay.
Do you guys ever go to the Halloween parade? That's coming up.
Which?
They have a really big one on Halstead Street.
I didn't know.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so I always tell, like, whenever I do my segment with Bill and Wendy didn't know about it either. And I got to, like, school her a little bit, because it really is a huge parade. They have a bunch of prizes. You can get $4,000 in prizes.
Whoa, man. Yes. Man, I need to go there now.
And it's actually on October 31st. And they're expanding it to like a full week of activities with like a zombie brunch, you know, a pup crawl and kids fun zone. So there's some kids stuff involved. And this runs down Belmont Avenue to Brompton Avenue on Halstead Street. It kicks off at 7:30 on Halloween. Off Belmont and Halstead, and then they have an afterlife dance party at the Mid-City parking lot, which was a lot of fun last year.
A whole parking lot for that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah.
And then they have different contests at all the bars, like up and down the street. So,
oh, okay.
A lot of fun. So
great neighborhood event. That sounds good.
It's a really good neighborhood event and a lot of fun. So that one's really good. They're going to do trick or treating on Southport. Well, they do it in a lot of the neighborhoods, but this one, you know, they sent me information about October 28th, so that's Monday. It feels like there's something going on like every day around Halloween.
Yeah, well, there's so much to celebrate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's I remember when I was a kid just getting so excited for the holiday because then all the parks, and I grew up in Evanston, all the parks had big Halloween celebrations. And dig this, the end of the evening, they would have bonfires in the park.
Oh.
You don't see that anymore. And I'm talking big bonfires.
Oh, my gosh.
And you would just, like, stand alongside, of course, at a safe distance. Uh-huh. And just a huge bonfire just burning all night long.
Oh, my gosh.
It was, yeah, we had a good time.
But they never got out of control? Or
No. Like, I mean, the adults were there. It was part of, you know, the park districts would maintain control and everything.
Oh, okay.
You would march around the park before the bonfire. It was like not getting candy, but just the parade of costumes for all the neighbors to see. And you would have, you would go inside, watch all the cartoon, mostly Disney cartoons of the Halloween variety. You know, Huey, Dewey, and Louie going out in their ghost costumes and stuff like
Charlie
that.
Brown.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo? Scooby-Doo?
No, we didn't have Scooby-Doo back then.
Not
when I was growing up. Not when I was little and going to these things. And then you would get, you would go through like a makeshift haunted house, but it was all like kid safe. You know, would you walk up the stairs with curtains draping alongside, and someone would walk out with the, you know, the old flashlight underneath the chin, you know, to make it look spooky, and and then when you're done, you get this big bag of Halloween candy. And the number one treat that I fell in love with, and I still get them every year,
what was it?
Popcorn balls.
Do you really like those the best?
Oh, my.
Everything?
I love popcorn balls. Yeah.
I'm like a peanut butter and chocolate, like Reese's peanut butter cups or something.
Oh, nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Those are good.
Yeah. Or caramel, like Milky Ways or Snickers.
Yeah. What about that candy corn? Have we ever figured out who started that and how do we get rid of it?
It was a big thing when I was little, and I liked them.
I like candy corn, yeah.
Do you eat it like individually, like each flavor?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, which one do you like the best? Traditional or all the new? Like, there's a chocolate one now?
No, the traditional one.
Traditional.
The chocolate one's weird.
And the peanuts I like.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the circus peanuts?
Yeah.
Yeah, those sometimes come out.
Do people still do, like, the full-size candy bars and stuff? I mean, that's the big
score. Oh, yeah. So,
score.
Like, one of the... We didn't get a lot of kids at where I lived out in the suburbs. So we would always give out king-size candy bars. And... once it found out that, like, we were the house that had king-size candy bars, it seems like our numbers increased, like, year after year after year after year. Even though the neighborhood stayed the same, it seemed like more kids were coming, like, from out of different neighborhoods to come to ours.
Yeah.
One of my neighbors actually one year was really cool. They actually had hot dogs, like hot apple cider, the candy, of course, and they had, like, a whole spread. One year it was actually like super hot out. My dad made margaritas for adults.
Oh my goodness.
And gave out candy to kids. So we got a little creative with a little bit of that sort of thing. Yeah.
That's fun. Because I'm the generation that, you know, Halloween was still a big thing when I was a kid and we all believed in it and how great it was. And then it got, by the time I got in college, it was hit into, you know, folklore had destroyed the holiday in a lot of ways. People were really scared that they were going to get poisoned. And that it just went, it was around my high school days. And then I took an urban folklore class in college and they were like, the reason that that holiday got messed up was this one guy. Okay. This is what I heard. This one guy, he was trying. So he claimed that his kid was poisoned and people freaked out and they just quit doing the whole, you know, Halloween holiday. Like people were scared.
Sure.
So what they say happened was he was trying to get insurance money. So he actually poisoned his own kid.
Oh, no.
And yeah. And so they just had scared people so badly that the holiday has been ruined ever since. Like, have you ever tried to get a razor blade and an apple? Like, that's what people are scared of. You can't, you would see
it's too hard.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to, like, that doesn't work.
And you would see it.
Right.
I mean, even if you were able to push it all the way inside, if that was possible,
right,
you would see where it was pushed in.
Yeah.
And you would throw the thing out.
Right. It doesn't work. Yeah. So people were scared of, like, getting a razor blade and an apple. And, you know, it's just interesting how folklore was, you know, spread back then. And it just ruined.
And I know a lot of parents nowadays. I mean, our daughter has got a couple of grandkids. And they'll be, they're 11 and... 9 now.
Okay.
And she'll still go through the candy. Our daughter still goes through, and that looks safe, that looks safe, that looks safe. Let me, hold on, let me hold it up to the light. Let me cut it open. Let me look. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's still, people still are scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know, just know about that whole thing. So we're going to do a quick break, and then we'll be back with some more Halloween ideas for people. All right. Hey, it's Jerry Nunn here filling in for Dave Plyer this morning. We've got a really fun, jam-packed show. We're covering Halloween, a lot of fun things to do in the city. And then we have a special guest here. Mark Kwiatkowski is here from Linkin Park Replay. So we are so excited to have you here in the studio. And thanks for joining us, Mark.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've got a great radio voice. I'm impressed already.
Wow.
You are born to be on the radio. So we're going to kind of go through your history, get, you know, so listeners get to know you. People are welcome to call in and ask questions. They can text questions in at 312-981-7200, or they're welcome to call in. That's 312-981-7200. And so I'm just going to go through just a kind of a few questions, and we'll get to know you. And I want to hear about this great replay place that I've actually visited, and I want to hear all about that. So let's start off with, where are you from?
Born and raised in Chicago. Went to high school in the suburbs, college at University of Illinois in Champaign, and then moved back here after college.
Okay. And then have you always been in the bar biz? When did that all start?
1995. So I've been opening bars since 1995.
Oh, okay. Great. And so when did Replay Linkin Park happen?
So I opened an arcade bar at 2833 North Sheffield in 2012, expanded it to the 9,000 square feet that it is now, rebranded it as Replay Linkin Park in 2016, and have been running a successful arcade bar there since then.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I mean, I went for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We had so much fun with a little pop-up. So when did the pop-up start?
2 years ago, actually 2 years ago, exactly now. First one I did was Moe's Tavern of the Simpsons.
Okay.
And I've done probably 20 pop-ups since.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like there's always another one coming down the pike. Game of Thrones was obviously really popular, right?
That was a huge hit. Ran for 3 months.
Oh, my gosh. The fans are crazy about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. The pop-up culture is incredible. People want to cosplay and have their Instagram moments and just want to embrace pop culture and enjoy an immersive experience. And that's what we try to bring.
Did you always play video games growing up? Were you a big video game guy?
I mean, I was definitely, it was of my era, and I was I loved video games, sure.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? Maybe the one that's in there right now.
Yeah, Galaga. Galaga's my favorite. Oh. And we have a vintage, pristine Galaga. I make sure all the games are in great shape, but Galaga's one that, you know, I know instantly if there's one little hitch in the game and call my repair guy and say, hey, we got to get, you know, the joystick sticks a little bit, or the fire button is just a little bit wonky. And
is there a lot of upkeep to these machines?
Lots.
The pinball one must be a lot.
Pinballs especially, but lots of upkeep. The pinballs, obviously, a lot of moving parts, you know, metal ball, plastic parts, bashing against each other. So
yeah,
there's constant care and love and maintenance of these things.
Yeah, and if one little thing gets stuck, it just can mess up the whole game.
It ruins the game, yeah. If you're a fan of a game and there's one little problem with the game, you're going to notice, and you don't really want to play. You're like, wait, I can't do this, I can't do that. So we have to stay on top of that.
So my favorite is Centipede. I really like Centipede. I don't know why, but I just
Centipede's a classic. I actually find it a little distressful.
Well, it is. Yeah. Like, I probably just hypes up my anxiety. I'm probably like, oh my gosh, because it once it goes, it is fast.
Yeah,
right. That spider is out of control.
When it really gets going, yeah, you almost want to like get up.
Yeah, and it's really hard to last a long time. Honestly, like, it's pretty tough. So that trackball pinches me and stuff. What do you have any tips on the trackball?
I haven't had that problem, honestly. The trackball is pretty, and actually those trackballs are almost indestructible. We never really have problems with Centipede. That's one game that is just tried and true.
That's good to hear. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if the technique is better to hold down that button, the fire button, or if it's like...
I've watched really good players play it, and they're tapping it as quickly as they possibly can.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip. Okay. I need to get in there and play again. I'm getting rusty. So tell me about the Halloween pop-up that's going on starting next week.
All right. So, well, right now we have Parks and Recreation going, but we are launching Stephen King's It pop-up on Friday the 11th. We're previewing it right now, but the artists are hard at work all week long to get it ready for the premiere on Friday the 11th.
Oh my gosh, is it going to be a scary clown? Should people be warned about the clown?
I mean, it is scary. If you're scared of clowns, you're going to be scared here. It's I've got a great team of artists. They call themselves the Pop-Up Squad, and they go above and beyond, and they really want to, you know, their ideal candidate for this pop-up is some young person that's afraid of clowns, and they want to really spook them.
Yeah, I've had friends that will like leave my Halloween party because they get so scared of clowns. They get really, really, I mean, freaked out about them.
Yeah, well, Pennywise is a pretty scary clown, and he's represented in his many forms throughout the pop-up, so people will be, you know, they'll be afraid. If you're afraid of clowns, you're going to be afraid here.
See, I grew up with a phobia of clowns because Grandma Nun had one of these blow-up punching bags of a clown in her closet, and it scared me to open up that closet, and that clown was, like, in there.
I never understood the fear of clowns. I still don't get it, but I honestly contemplated potentially not doing it because I was afraid of a certain percentage of the population being afraid of clowns and not coming to my venue to enjoy this amazing pop-up.
Well, the movie, the first one, was like broke tons of records. I think it's the number one scary movie of all time or something as far as box office.
Yeah.
And then part two, I've gotten about halfway through. I've not finished watching it. But have you seen part two yet?
Yeah, of course. Okay. We were contemplating doing this It pop-up, and I said, well, I want to see the movie, make sure it's not just something terrible or a bomb of some sort. Mm-hmm. And I saw it the day it came out, took my kids, and enjoyed it thoroughly. And two of the artists went to see it that same day, and they loved it. And we're like, we're going forward. We're forging ahead and definitely doing it.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I read Stephen King as a kid growing up, and I've just had a long history with him. I think he's an amazing writer. He knows how to describe something, you know.
He's incredible. He's incredible. I'm trying to get my son into reading Stephen King as well. Uh-huh. We watched The Shining a couple days ago, and he hadn't seen it yet. And,
how old is he?
14.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah. So he's mature and not really easily, you know, freaked out or creeped out or anything. So
yeah,
he loved it. But yeah, he loved it, and honestly, my son is the inspiration for a lot of the pop-ups. You know, I enjoy. He turned me on to Rick and Morty. One of our most successful pop-ups was Rick and Morty, and he turned me on to Rick and Morty, and he said, "I think that'd be a good pop-up," and that was one of the best ones we've ever done.
That's really cool. I interviewed the little girl that was in Stephen King's It. She was a sweet little girl, you know, and she's in some flashbacks of part two.
Sure.
But yeah, she was adorable. So tell me, is there a specialty drink coming with Stephen King's It?
Oh, we always have a selection, 6-7 drinks and several shots. So for this one, we've got a Pennywise Punch. It's a passion fruit 3 rum punch. We've got the It cocktail, which is a black vodka. And I forget what else is in that one. Mm-hmm. We've got 3 shots, the scary, not scary, and very scary.
Okay.
So those are just fun, but the very scary is quite kind of nasty, Malort based.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're doing a custom claw, we call it a custom white claw, pumpkin spice white claw. It's homemade, not white claw itself, but
that
idea. We've got something called, I don't even know what this reference is. One of the artists says we have to do something called Winter Fire.
Oh.
And we have a Winter Fire cocktail. It's a it's kind of a take on a tequila, blackberry tequila smash.
Okay.
With a rosemary, a flaming rosemary sprig garnish.
Oh, wow. So big. So they're going to set it on fire.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I bartended all night, so I'm like pretty familiar. The White Claw is like the huge thing at the weddings and stuff now. Everybody is drinking this White Claw.
It's incredible. White Claw is dominating the market right now. So I want to make my own.
Make your own. And then, yeah. So you don't have to. Do you have White Claw?
Sure, we offer White Claw. But, you know, they don't have a pumpkin spice White Claw. And obviously Starbucks kills it with their pumpkin spice latte. So we're doing a take on that.
Oh, is there contests? What about contests and stuff?
Of course. Costume contest?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For Halloween, you know, on the 26th, Saturday before Halloween, October 26th, that's the kind of the big party night. We've got a costume contest and, you know, great DJ. And the costume contest entails just best overall costume and then best it-inspired costume. So that's on the 26th. We're doing another one on the 31st, so Thursday, Halloween. Another same kind of deal, costume contest as well. And we kind of do it a little bit differently. We have a pageant.
Okay.
So the staff goes around the room and picks 10 people as finalists, and then we erect a stage and pageant them across the stage and have audience participation and three judges, and we determine the winners.
Okay.
First prize, $250, and then, you know, hundreds of dollars for second and third place.
Oh, wow. So, but not like a Carrie pageant, right? There's not going to be pig blood getting dropped on anybody?
Nothing like that. That'd be pretty awesome. That's funny. We talked about doing a Carrie pop-up for Halloween one year, but I just felt that's got so much age on it. I'm not sure if the 21-year-olds know what Carrie is, honestly. But
well, they made a remake, so maybe
they
did.
Oh, that's right. They did. I forgot about that.
So that was really good.
Yeah.
Mark, I've got two questions for you. Are you guys doing anything on the actual like day of Halloween, like specials wise or anything like that? And then two, we got a text from the 815 wondering if you could explain what a pop-up is.
So on Halloween, on Thursday the 31st, we're just recreating what we were doing on that Saturday before Halloween. Costume contest, DJ, we discount some of the drinks, same deal. It's just going to be I think people are going to get 2-for-1 Halloween this year because Thursday is always a great night to go out anyway. So we've got the Saturday before Halloween and the Thursday of Halloween. So it'll be great. And then a pop-up. So pop-ups are what we do is we transform either one room or the entire space of the bar. We have 9,000 square feet. So most commonly we take the back room, which is about 2,000 square feet, and create this really immersive experience. And I'll give you some examples that we've done before. We turned the back room into Friends for Thanksgiving last year. For a whole month, we recreated Rachel and Monica's apartment, Joey and Chandler's apartment. We had the iconic couch kind of from the opening scene. So it was the backdrop of the couch was the opening fountain scene. We had the great couch and umbrellas, and people would have a very Instagrammable photo opportunity. So that was one that we did last year. Right now we're in the middle of Parks and Recreation, and we turned the back room into Pawnee, and we've got the world's smallest park, we've got the Pawnee government building, we've got Ron Swanson's office, we've got Little Sebastian's stable, we've got Chris Pratt's shoe shine stand, nice. The pit. So that's what we have going on right now. And then, you know, in February of this year, we turned the entire 9,000 square feet into Game of Thrones, so Westeros. And we had all the different worlds. The back room was north of the wall, and we had the White Walkers, and we had Dothraki and King's Landing and everything represented. It was truly incredible, immersive. We had cosplayers that we hired to be there regularly. We had the throne, obviously. We had cosplayers just showing up regularly because people want to participate in that and dress up and you know, be part of that whole environment. So it was truly remarkable.
That's really great. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to have you talk a little bit more with us afterwards.
Great.
And learn some more about Replay Linkin Park. Thank you so much, Mark. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Jerry Nunn. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer today, so I appreciate all the listeners sticking with me. We have a really great guest here in the studio. His name's Mark Kwiatkowski. He is from Replay Linkin Park and the owner of this booming business, right? It is busy. Every time I've been in there, it's a great, huge space, really. You were talking about the square footage of this place. This is like a big...
Well, 9,000 square feet, 65-plus vintage arcade games and pinball machines, all on free play.
Mm-hmm. And bars, fun specialty drinks. We're talking about pop-ups and what a pop-up is when it's, you know, just a... It's a fan kind of event that people, you know, that you've been having throughout the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. So it's funny. My mom asks me all the time. She's like, why don't you just stick with one pop-up and just... you know, keep it. Like, why do you keep making this effort? Mm. And I always reference, you know, Mom, would you go see the same movie over and over again? Or as I remember as a kid, she enjoyed Dallas. And and I said, if they just kept airing the same episode of Dallas over and over, would you keep watching? Of course not. So we've got to keep it fresh and exciting. And we honestly love doing it. We have so much fun getting creative and you know, really digging into some of this pop culture that, you know, some of us aren't familiar with. I didn't watch Parks and Recreation, for example, mm-hmm. until I started getting ready for the pop-up. I watched The Office. I loved that show. Watched the first couple of episodes of Parks and Rec and just kind of didn't, you know, compared it too closely to The Office or something. And then getting ready for this pop-up, I really embraced it and really enjoyed looking for all the little nuances, the Easter eggs that we could put into our pop-up and you know, really treat the guests.
Yeah, would you do a Dallas pop-up for your mom just to do it?
I think it's got too much age on it. I think, you know, yeah. maybe if CBS did a new, you know, Dallas point or 2.0 or something like that, maybe. But
I mean, Who Shot JR was a big deal. Yeah, I mean, that was everywhere.
It was huge. I mean, it was one of the highest rated television shows of all time, right?
Yeah, I got to talk to Linda Gray about her book one time. She gave me a little behind the scenes and had breakfast with her. She's a pretty cool lady. I mean, she looks great. So
great.
Yeah, there you go. And so you're talking about, you did a Fire Festival. Do people know? People may not know what the Fire Festival is, but it was a Netflix special they had, a documentary about a festival that went wrong, a music festival that was supposed to take place on an island, and it just was a mess.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it just through social media when it was actually failing, basically, and I was intrigued by it. I said, I can't believe people, you know, this happened, and it was such a big fail, and then Netflix launched their documentary about it, and then Hulu soon after, earlier in January of 2019, and it was must-see TV for me. I watched it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I can't believe this happened and the way it happened. And I started talking to my artist. I said, what do you guys think about doing a Firefest pop-up? And everyone was really excited about it. We knocked it out of the park. We did an amazing pop-up. We brought in 6 tons of sand, giant palm trees, the relief tents, did it all, but it kind of fell flat a little bit. I think I realized that not enough people had really watched the Netflix documentary, the Hulu documentary, or really embraced the whole Fire Fest. It was still a lot of fun and people enjoyed it, but honestly, people would walk in and realize we were doing something and something was going on, but they'd ask, what is this? Yeah. Some weird beach thing going
right,
on.
Right, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's a little niche.
Yeah, a little too niche.
Yeah, it's the address. Someone asked about the address. They texted in. It's 2833 North Sheffield.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so, and then the hours of operation are kind of interesting too. It's Monday through Thursday, 5 p.m. to like 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. And then Friday, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. and Saturday, 12 p.m. to 3 a.m.
And then Sunday, 12 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little goofy, but we open early on weekends, and then City of Chicago liquor laws allow you to stay open an hour later on Saturday. So that's just why it's a little, you know, little unique.
There's no food, though, right? It's just booze.
No, No food, but you know, during our pop-ups, we partnered with a neighborhood restaurant called Zizi's Cafe, great little Turkish Mediterranean restaurant, and then we used this kind of app, iPad-based app called Second Kitchen, and people can order right from the app. And for the pop-ups, we do custom menus. So right now for Parks and Rec, we offer the Paunch Burger and JJ's Waffles. The pop-up that we did most recently was SpongeBob, and we had Krabby Patties, obviously, and some of that stuff. So we sold literally thousands of Krabby Patties for the SpongeBob, and you know, thousand something Paunch Burgers in the last couple of weeks for Parks and Rec.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun. So I interviewed Aaron Carter at the space there whenever he was doing appearances. So celebrities come in sometimes and do appearances.
I mean, yeah, we don't like solicit celebrities so much, but Aaron Carter was doing, there was a benefit that we did, and it was a 90s themed event for a children's charity. I honestly forget the name of the charity.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Carter was part of that event and you know, graced us with his presence, and we had a great night that night and raised a bunch of money for charity.
Yeah. Well, if people don't know who Aaron Carter is, you know, he's the brother of Backstreet Boy, and then he kind of went on into his own pop career and had some hits and stuff, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and I guess had some trouble somewhere along the way, but he's all straight now and making music again, and
yeah,
and just a lot of fun.
What's another pop-up that's coming up?
So nothing definite yet. Okay. We talk. It's funny that, you know, we're always talking and discussing, and we're getting approached all the time now. Mr. Rogers, the new movie is coming out with Tom Hanks. They approached us about doing a pop-up. We're doing something for sure, a mini pop-up with Namco, the U.S.-based manufacturer of Pac-Man and Galaga and a lot of the most iconic games. We're turning one of our areas into the Namco Man Cave and featuring all their games, and they're providing us with all the Namco-branded kind of swag.
Fun.
So we're doing that. You know, there's a bunch that we certainly want to do, maybe something with Star Wars for the new Star Wars movie.
That'd be great.
Yeah, there's so many possibilities.
And people can go to a website and kind of see what's coming up?
Yeah, replaylincolnpark.com is our website. Facebook, we're very active on Facebook and Instagram. Okay. I'll replay Lincoln Park.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in tonight, this morning, and toughing out with the early morning hours, Mark. I know you've got, you know, a lot going on. So thank you for coming in and talking about your great business.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, and we will be back soon. All right. It is Jerry Nunn here filling in for Dave Plyer. I am so honored to be here in the studio from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's a wild time slot, but we just had a really great guest. If you guys got a chance to listen to Mark from Replay Lincoln Park, but he told us a lot about his business, and we learned about video games and the pop-ups, what a pop-up even is. So, and we have some upcoming guests, and I want you guys to stick around for Garib Sheamus, who is the CEO of Ace Universe. He's at the Ace Comic Con. So all you superhero, you know, any like nerd comic person like me that grew up on comic books, I learned to read on comic books. So I'm super excited to talk to somebody who, you know, made their own comic convention. I mean, these things are red hot right now. And I look really forward to talking to Garib later on in the show. So we're talking about movies right now, though. How about we talk, we've continued this Halloween theme, and the Joker is like the big, you know, movie right now that opened this weekend with Joaquin Phoenix. I know Curtis is a big movie buff, so I definitely want to, you know, even though both of us have not seen it yet, I want to hear about what we've heard about it so far and, you know, what we think. This one's already a really controversial, wild movie, right?
Yeah, even before, like, it was even released, there were a lot of controversy surrounding it, more so from the state of Colorado because of the whole Aurora shooting that happened several years ago. That took place during a Batman movie, the premiere of one of the Batman movies, and the gentleman who came in that committed that horrific act was dressed up as the Joker. So I've heard some discussion as to, you know, whether or not this movie kind of promotes violence a little bit because of the way that the character is portrayed and carried out by Joaquin Phoenix. I have yet to see it, so I'm not sure about that, but I've seen multiple people and reviewers say that they're kind of also on the fence about that too, if it really kind of quote-unquote promotes violence and that sort of thing, and they're kind of worried about the mass effects of it too.
Right. I mean, we're living in a different time now, and we have to be respectful, and it's too bad that, you know, we can't dress up for movie screenings now. I mean, I just, it's such a shame that, you know, one person or a few people ruin it for everyone else, you know?
Yeah, and I think in particular too, some of those characters are just kind of, I don't know how to put it politely, I guess it's more so portrayed, since it is that evil sort of, you know, character, it is kind of tough to go ahead and portray them in a way that doesn't really, especially specifically the Joker and the whole Batman series, without kind of thinking about, you know, mental health and you know, that whole sort of thing.
Right.
So it is tough.
That's what I heard about this movie. I heard this movie is, you know, super heavy, and there's a lot of mental health stuff in it, that, you know, he's trying to be a regular guy and deal with regular day life, but he's off, right?
Yeah, and I know Richard Roper, who was on the Rokan show the other day, gave it 3.5 stars.
Oh.
3.5 out of 4. That's so he really liked it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he kind of went through the whole plot, basically. I kind of tried to ignore it, so I didn't get any spoilers or anything like that. But it was said to be very well done, and all the reports I've heard is that Joaquin Phoenix did a phenomenal job, and a lot of people are just saying, just give him the best actor award now.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly they're saying he's really good, and not quite as good as Heath's Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker.
Okay,
but definitely up there in terms of performances. And I think Richard put it best when he said that, you know, Heath portrayed the Joker well compared to the Joker's regular name. It's escaping me right now, but compared to where Joaquin Phoenix plays the behind the mask or behind the face paint, he plays the person that plays the Joker well.
Okay.
Not like the actual character in the story, not so much the actual villain in the Batman series. And there is, I've heard a few different like Easter eggs and effects into the Batman storyline. I guess one of the scenes is that the father of Batman growing up is running for mayor, and you see a young version of Batman in the movie and everything like that.
Okay.
But it's supposed to, like I said, it's supposed to be very good. Joaquin Phoenix sounds like he's done a really good job so far. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, someone texted in about the Joker is all about mental health, and that's true. You know, if people want to text or call in and give their concern, I mean, I can imagine some parents being concerned about a movie like this. Feel free to call or text in at 312-981-7200 and just be a part of our conversation with us. I'd be really interested to hear what people think about this kind of movie, because it goes beyond just a movie in a theater. They're asking for no masks, no painted faces, costumes to be allowed in the theater for this. That's at 50 venues at Landmark Theaters are saying not to dress up. And
which, for that sort of thing, I can understand. If you're going to get all dressed up, maybe save that for a Comic-Con event more so than going to a theater. I totally get it that people want to dress up and as their favorite character and to support their favorite franchise and whatnot, but kind of after all the stuff that's happened with at least the Batman series in particular in terms of the Aurora shooting, I think you kind of have to just avoid that and just save it for specific events like a Comic-Con.
It's really interesting how this show that I'm filling in for is really going. It's really interesting because already we're talking about clowns and we're talking about the craziness of that.
We're hitting all the the creepy stuff that
and we're going to talk to someone who runs a Comic-Con, so we can talk to him about costumes and the controversy of that and how he feels about that. So it's really interesting how the show is really shaping up to be, you know, a great Halloween show and also we're talking about the Joker and all this. It's all like coming together. I love it. Because I grew up on comics. I've seen the Joker in all different ways that he was done. I mean, he was, you know, Sid Caesar with the, you know, the old Batman TV show. You know, I was young enough and old enough to do that, you know, be into that. And you know, Julie Newmar, I got to be friends with. I mean, I love Catwoman. I mean, I cannot get enough of that lady. She is awesome. So I love the old show. And then, you know, then I was at the perfect age whenever the Prince music came out and Jack Nicholson did his thing. And then we went through all these different Batmans for so long and all these different, you know, versions. And then it went back to a more serious thing and got out of the whole, you know, because Tim Burton did his take on it and Joel Schumacher and all these different people did their all different versions. Yeah,
everybody had to get a piece of the pie.
Yeah, because it was such the hot thing. It was like Spider-Man, you know, it was the big hero that everybody was super into, and they did some really interesting things. I mean, even if you didn't like all of it, I don't know. I'd love to hear what people think of all the different Jokers and the different characters throughout the years.
I'm a big Marvel guy,
okay,
personally. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man has been one of my favorite series. I actually like Tom Holland as Spider-Man versus Tobey Maguire back in the day, mm-hmm, from several years ago. That's kind of my unpopular opinion.
No, you can meet him next weekend at Thais Comic Con. You know he's coming, right?
Yeah, I do know he's coming. Yeah. I'm bummed. I'm actually working different shifts here at the station that weekend, so I can't make it. But I love Tom Holland. I think he plays a better role of a Peter Parker in his teenage years and then did Tobey Maguire. And I know like two different ages of film and you know that sort of thing when Tobey was doing it versus Tom Holland. But Tom Holland just portrays that American teenager so well. Yeah. And Zendaya was great in it too. So I loved the way that they portrayed those characters in this year's Spider-Man versus, what was it, 2001, 2002's
right
version with Tobey Maguire in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of the new stuff. And now that Spider-Man's back into the Marvel Universe, now that they got a deal with Disney and Sony, that makes me even more excited now that they can still include it for future movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, they finally worked that out, right?
Yes.
That was a problem.
Yeah, there was a huge dispute, and then finally they came to their senses and realized, yeah, this probably makes sense for both of us.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad they worked that out, because that was very concerning. Thought it was going to, you know, derail the whole thing, and he is very good. I mean, he's kept it young and fun and has done well, because now you see it's not so easy to be Spider-Man. But anyway, back to the Joker. Okay, so the Joker, I definitely want to see. I've heard mixed things about it. I know some critics that absolutely hated it. So I don't know. Maybe I just need to go see it and find out myself. One movie I loved is Judy. I was super into this Judy Garland movie. And I'm not a big Judy head like a lot of people.
Is it like a biopic or something? Or I haven't seen any of the attractions or anything for it, like coming attractions for it.
Yeah, so it's not really a biopic. It's based on a play.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's based on a play that and a book. So that kind of clears things up, because it's not so like trying to be her, you know, the exact life story and stuff. It was from a thing called End of the Rainbow. That's the name of the musical drama that they wrote, and they've made this movie into it. So Renee Zellweger plays Judy Garland at a rough time. So we're not going to have much time to talk about the Judy movie, but I loved it a lot, and hopefully we can get to
it next segment.
Yeah, let's talk to it next. Then we'll talk about it next segment and clear up a little mystery about the Joker. So we'll be back soon. Hey, this is Jerry Nunn, and I am filling in for Dave Plyer. It's Jerry Nunn from nunnontherun.com. If you're not familiar with me, my last name's N-U-N-N, and it's become a whole brand. I'm a writer, entertainment writer, and I was a little kid when the first Batman TV show came out, so I was incorrect, but I was checking if you guys are listening and awake, because it was Cesar Romero, not Sid Caesar. So I was close, but no cigar. Sorry, but I was just checking. And but anyway, this new Joker movie is big controversy. I want to check it out. I wasn't really into it because I'd heard bad things, so I thought, oh, I'll just skip this movie and I'll just move on. And but now it's kind of got me intrigued. People are freaking out about this all over. And if anyone's seen it, feel free to call in at 312-981-7200. Give us your thoughts on the movie and what your opinion is. Love to hear that. Give me a text, 312-981-7200. And someone also texted in about, you know, do we know who killed Batman's parents? So I looked it up, and it's a guy named Joe Chill. That was the original idea. It was a thug that killed the parents. And then I think he saw a shadow of a bat or something, and it made him become Batman. You know, the origins, they're continually changing things and updating them and expanding on the whole story. And so you never really know. You just got to keep going and watch the next film. So I've watched, I think, every Batman. I'm really into the superhero movies. I didn't watch Gotham, though. Did anyone watch Gotham? Did you watch that?
I did not.
Yeah, I wasn't super into that one, but I think they did some really interesting things. Had some really good actors on that show, so maybe we missed out on that. You can always go back and binge these things, so there you go.
Yeah, and lots of streaming services, Netflix, Hulu.
Right.
I think Amazon Video or Amazon Prime, you can easily access a ton of that stuff. I'm curious, who was your favorite that played Batman? A lot of people like Adam West. A lot of people like, you know, a bunch of different people who've played Batman. Who's your favorite actor that's played Batman?
I mean, Christian Bale pretty much, like, yeah, don't you think?
Nailed it for you?
Yeah. I mean, he really... I mean, it was funny, the voice that he chose and everything. That was almost kind of like a comical, you know, take on it. But I mean, hey, it's an actor's choice, and that's what he wanted to do. Ben Affleck is, I couldn't get into that. And I think he's out now, right? He's not going to keep going with it.
Yeah, I don't think he's involved with it going forward.
Yeah, so I don't know if, I think other people were just not super comfortable with him either. I mean, it's just like one day you're in, the next day you're out with these superhero movies, and somebody else is ready to step up. Like, people are ready.
Yeah, one thing after another.
Yeah, because it's a career making thing. If you get in this, I mean, this could really, he could win, Joaquin could win, you know, another Oscar.
I mean, you look at the actors who've really, really benefited from the, like, Avengers series, you know, a lot of those guys. I know those are really, really talented, big name A-list celebrities, but younger actors that have just recently gotten involved into it, you know, Tom Holland playing Peter Parker. You look at, you know, Zendaya, we were talking about Spider-Man, you know, those two getting involved into it.
Yeah.
And even just across the board, not even like the main superhero characters, but a lot of the sub characters too. It's a lot of talented people that are involved in like that whole side of the superhero spectrum. And it's the same thing across into DC as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited that we're going to have Garib Sheamus calling in later. He's the CEO of Ace Comic Con. Cause then you can ask him about Tom Holland. Like, you can be like, how do you know him? What's he like?
Yeah.
You know, so we can get the skinny on Tom Holland. This would be great. We'll get like a behind the scenes, because those things are crazy. They're very, you know, these Comic Cons are, they're very in and out. You know, when you're meeting the celebs, sometimes you don't get very much time. So
yeah, plus the panels, too.
Yeah.
You're making your way from panel to panel if you have a specific set of panels that you want to go visit.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to the Judy film. I just did not get enough to talk about. So Joaquin maybe will win an Oscar for The Joker, but Renee Zellweger is going to take this Oscar. I don't think anyone should even compete against. Just give her the trophy right now and call it a day. She is so good in it. I can't even tell you. It's not like a caricature either. Like, it could have been that kind of, you know, where they're over the top and trying so hard. So like that. It's just, it's not that. It's a segment of Judy Garland's life. Okay, so people that don't know about Judy Garland, there's some flashback scenes where she's a little girl and, you know, Wizard of Oz, and that's what many people know her for. But then it goes to her, the end of her career, where she's struggling and, you know, she's got her kids and she doesn't know what to do and she's just trying to make money. So it's really, I mean, she just adds such heart to it. You know, everyone knows how good Renee Zellweger can be, right? And she's, her career's been kind of up and down, like many actresses and actors. But this is just, it just puts her right back in the seat.
Did they incorporate any, like, I know, for example, Rocket Man incorporated a few, like, live actual tape shots of Elton John and different like performances and stuff. Was there any of that in Judy at all?
It's a recreation of some of those like iconic. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to say Renee does a perfect vocal. Like, she does not have the same voice, right? There's only so much she can do. She can look like her. She can dress like her, you know, do all the stuff, but she doesn't quite have the chops. But I did notice towards the end of the movie, she really hits some of those lower notes and really takes it home. I was just blown away by some of the performances and just the attitude of, you know, make someone happy and you know, make someone's day, be nice to people. Like, what comes around goes around. You know, these classic things of Judy Garland that I just loved it. From the minute that movie started, I just loved it. So I was a big believer.
What was the most powerful scene for you in that one?
I think towards the end, where she's so struggling. And I'm not going to tell people spoilers. I don't do that. But she, you know, they have some special moments for the gay fan base that has loved Judy Garland for forever.
Yeah.
And I just love those moments because it's paying homage to those people that have, you know, loved Judy. And they deserve that. I thought that was so cool. And I'm not going to tell people about how it happens, but, you know, go out and see this movie. It's good on a big screen to see her perform some of those songs. The soundtrack's great. You know, she's singing with Sam Smith and Rufus Wainwright, who's, you know, done whole concerts about Judy Garland. And I'm not, listen, and also, just before you guys start judging me on Sunday, I am not one of those Judy Garland heads that loves Judy. Like, I did not know everything about her. I didn't know a lot of things that were in the movie. You know, I'm not a big Barbara Streisand gay. You know, I'm just not that person. Like, you know, and I appreciate their work and I appreciate what people are into them. But this was, you know, a whole other thing. I learned about her and I loved it. So anyway, that was a really good one. Another movie that I like that's kind of not gotten the love that I thought it would is Brittany Runs a Marathon. Have you heard of this one?
I've seen of that. I've seen the attractions for it. It looks funny, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen it yet. No.
So yeah, so it's Jillian Bell is the actress. It's an indie film, and I know it can't compete with some of these big name movie kind of things, but really it's a story of a woman just ready to change her life. And it's not just about just running a marathon. It is about changing your life and making smart decisions and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think everyone can get something out of that.
I was gonna say that everybody can take a little bit of inspiration trying to change themselves for the better. Especially since, like we were talking about earlier, mental health is kind of such a big influence. And I think social media kind of plays into a little bit of that. Everybody kind of showcases the best of their lives on social media and look what I'm doing and all these amazing things.
But everyone's flawed.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's sort of a good movie that can kind of bring you back down to earth a little bit and make you realize that, you know what, the world isn't a great place, but you know what, you can still make the better of it and the better for yourself in the most part.
And she is she's a flawed person. She's, you know, has all kinds of problems and just like, and that's why you kind of identify with it, and that's what's so funny. I interviewed the director, and it's based on a friend of his named Brittany, but she, you know, that's about it. Like, she did run a marathon, but that's about it. He wrote up, you know, most of the movie, so it's not a true story about someone. But I really recommend that one if you guys get a chance. Go out and see Brittany Runs a Marathon. It's a lot of fun, and it's playing, I think it was playing up at Evanston, some few theaters still.
It's not listed as a comedy, is it? It's more, it's just, you said it was an indie film, but it's not like in the comedy genre.
I think, right? But there was some funny stuff. I mean, I laughed out loud.
Okay.
LOL.
I mean, there could be some funny stuff, but yeah. I just wasn't sure if it was, because the previews, it kind of made it look like it was more of a comedy film more than anything. I was just curious of what your take was.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really funny. So it is a comedy, but, you know, you just, I got a lot of
it. It's got a little seriousness to it.
Yeah, you can, you know, shed a tear or whatever, you know. But I just really enjoyed that one, too. So hopefully it gets some legs and keeps on running, you know. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Hey, this is Jerry Nunn, and I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. I appreciate everyone listening. I really appreciate the feedback and the texts, and people are calling in at 312-981-7200. Just great to hear from everybody. I love the listeners. They're so ready to correct you if you say the wrong thing, but I also can, I love the feedback. You know, this is, you know, I'm filling in, so I, you know, it's a new kind of thing for me sometimes. And I've booked some great guests for us. We have Garib Shamus from AC, he's from the Ace Universe Comic Con. He is going to be calling in here, and we'll learn about that. And that's going to be coming up next weekend. October is full of events, and I am so excited for the Chicago International Film Festival. We were talking about films earlier in the show, and we have the 55th annual Chicago International Film Festival. This is a big one. You know, it's not one of these little, small, little film festivals. This is a big thing with tons and tons of films, and it runs October 16th through 27th. And that is going to be at AMC. You can see if you're at the AMC on Illinois, that is decked out with all of the film festival swag. It is covered from head to toe. They have red carpets. We have artists coming in like Gael Garcia Bernal for his film on October 26th. Excited about meeting him on the red carpet. He is a longtime Mexican actor that I've admired, and he's just amazing. So I'm excited about talking to him. Buddy Guy is going to be there October 27th. For this film called The Torch, and the director's going to be there too. His name's Jim Farrell. And tickets for this is at chicagofilmfestival.com. So I hope people check out some artsy films. There's all different types. I mean, from all over the world. It is just an amazing lineup. So go online and find out about this.
If I can, Jerry, I was kind of associated with it for several years while I was teaching at Chicago Vocational.
Nice.
I ran a radio and TV program there, and we had a summer film program that we put together, working with agencies throughout the city. And there is a student film awards program that is associated with the Chicago International Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And you get films from not just the Chicago community, but also from the entire Midwest in on this competition.
Okay.
And a number.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids science project.
I have no idea what happened there. That
it's
was
a little science
that
project.
That just came out of nowhere? It was electrifying.
Well, I was moving stuff around, but then it just came
it
up.
Decided to do its own thing.
Huh.
Well, it is Halloween month.
Yeah, I mean, we're possessed. The boards are possessed. But yeah, what you were saying, I mean, there's so many great awards that they give out.
And yeah.
We get a lot of celebrities that come in town for
this. I was going to ask you, usually there's like someone really, really kind of big from Hollywood, usually, that they honor.
Yeah.
Like a person of the year or something like that.
Right. I know Matt Damon has a film, and I thought maybe he was coming, but so far he's not scheduled. I mean, they surprise you sometimes. Last year, they had The Widow's screening, which was filmed in Chicago.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That was the biggest red carpet we've had in Chicago in a really long time. And I loved meeting the cast. And it was just, I had some great moments on that red carpet. So
yeah, I'm waiting to see if there's a big announcement for what they'll be doing. I mean, you already mentioned a couple of things, people that'll be honored and recognized and all that.
Yeah.
But usually it's like a kind of a big name
that
usually gets some kind of recognition.
Yeah, I think they're doing something with Martin Scorsese, but people need to check it out because I'm not, familiar with everything. Yeah, it's a huge lineup. Tons of directors are going to be coming in town, so. Mm. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun-filled few weeks there.
Excellent.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to miss part of it because I'm going to Ireland for the first time. Yeah.
What's the special occasion?
I'm writing a travel story, and I start off in Dublin with a bunch of reporters for about 3 days there, and then I'm moving on to Northern Ireland to, this is October 13th to the 20th, so I'll be gone a chunk of the film festival, and then I'm going to catch it at the end, the tail end.
Boy, I can't wait to read all about your travels over there. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you follow me on social media, so...
Oh, of course I do.
You're going to see, all kinds of fun posts and Instagram and... My first time in Ireland, so it's going to be great.
Wonderful.
All right, so we have Garib Seamus is here. He is on the line, and we're going to talk to him about the Ace Comic-Con. So we're super excited to have him to talk to in the studio here. All right. Hey, Garib, this is Jerry Nunn, and we got you here at WGN Radio. How are you?
Doing great. How you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in New York City now.
Okay. All right, that's your home base?
Yeah, I live right near the Whitney in the West Village. It's great here.
Well, we appreciate you calling in and telling us about Ace Comic-Con. I want to hear how you got started with the creation of it in the first place.
So when I was much younger, I started a magazine called Wizard, and it got really, really popular in the early 90s.
Okay.
And basically... There was a few Comic Cons out there, but there was really kind of a disconnect between the fact that we were reaching millions of people a month, and these comic books cons or comic book shows really just old people selling old comic books. Mm-hmm. And we were reaching a lot of people covering the movie news and television and video games and toys, in addition to the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just wasn't being featured at these shows. So that's when I bought the original Chicago Comic-Con and really built that up into something where we covered all of these things. And so that was in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And,
I remember Wizard. I remember reading this when I was a kid.
Yeah, that was I started that magazine when I was literally 21, right out of my parents' house.
What? That's crazy. And it had, like, you could look up, you know, what your comics were worth sometimes. They had a whole price guide, right?
Yeah, we had the whole price guide. We had all the movie news, toy news, anything that was going on in the gaming. We did all the interviews with the artists and the writers and the studios. It was just, it was really amazing at the time. And it was all, when I started, it was all pre-internet. So
mm-hmm.
everything that we were doing, you know, was just us being able to have this dialogue with the fans.
Yeah, that's so great. And so how easy is it to start something like that? Like, how does that work?
Well, it was very difficult. You know, I always joke that in retrospect, had I known how difficult, had somebody told me in advance how difficult it would have been, I probably wouldn't have done it. But, mm-hmm. But right now, you know, it was very difficult. I mean, because we really had to coordinate a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
we barely had cell phones there, and but luckily, I became pretty fluent on desktop publishing when it first emerged.
Okay,
and so that's why, like, I didn't have to go through the same process that a lot of the other big publishers had to go through.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and it made it really easy to do it direct to the computer first.
Okay, and so this is the second year we've had it in Chicago, right? Correct?
Yeah, so cut to just recently, my brother and I decided to start a new company to reinvent Comic-Con, okay. And we started A's. And for us, it was really about changing the nature of it from a convention to more of an experience and to work with the biggest celebrities in the world. And it wasn't so much about creating something to try to reach more people than other people, than other conventions. It was really trying to create more of a boutique experience for people to make sure that everybody felt like a VIP.
Yeah. So you guys get the big names too. How does that work? Are you connected with, you know, Marvel Studios, and how does that all work?
Well, the thing is that because my brother and I have been doing this for so long, mm-hmm. we worked with all the studios and the television networks literally our entire lives. So when we started ACE, we've already had a built-in relationship with the studios and also, quite frankly, with a lot of the celebrities. Mm-hmm. They've been to our shows before.
Okay.
They've worked with us. They know that we're capable of handling them mm-hmm. and being able to handle that. And when you think about how big these celebrities have gotten today, mm-hmm. Besides the movies being, you know, so global in nature, social media has made these people feel like they're accessible, but yet, you know, they still need to meet their audiences in real life. And that's really where we wanted to be able to make that a lot more accessible to people.
Yeah. Well, last year I met Chris Evans at the ACE, you know, when you did it at Navy Pier, and it was wild just to be in line and meet the fans around waiting in line. They had traveled from all over the world just to meet, you know, Chris Evans, Captain America. So.
Yeah, that's what's happening with us. You know, when we set out to do this, it was really not about addressing people who are just comic book fans. For us, ACE is about reaching people who love superheroes. Mm-hmm. And when you think about today's world, 95% of the people who love these characters came to love them through the movies and television.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people coming in from all over the world that have even never been to a Comic-Con before. And ironically, the six events that we've run, including now this one will be our seventh total, we've had more than 50% women at all of our shows. Mm-hmm. So it's a real testament to us creating this environment that everybody who loves superheroes and feel comfortable coming to these events.
Yeah, I mean, and Captain Marvel.
Chris Evans is incredible, by the way.
He is. I met his brother, too, recently. Captain Marvel is going to be there, speaking of a female hero that a lot of, you know, young girls identify with and look up to, and so she's going to be there at this one.
Yeah, that's something that we really try to do, is bring a diverse audience, not only of the fans, but also of the talent. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of really amazing female characters that are going to be there. Brie Larson, of course, this is her first show ever, mm-hmm. for her to be able to meet her fans. And
wow.
She's, from what I understand, not only is she excited to be coming, but when she's there, she like really lights up a room. So mm-hmm. we're really excited to have her. You know, she's definitely one of the top female stars in the entire Marvel universe mm-hmm. and film. And, you know, and then we also have Tessa Thompson, who plays Valkyrie, and mm-hmm. then also Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. So we have and also Karen Shipka from Sabrina,
right,
the hit show on Netflix. So we've got a great crew of women coming in.
That's awesome. So Curtis is a big Tom Holland fan. Can you talk a little about Tom Holland?
Tom is amazing because, you know, you've had a couple of actors play Spider-Man before, but I don't think anyone has ever captured Spider-Man the way Tom Holland has. And just with his personality and his looks and his charm and his, you know, just this whole persona has just been incredible. And because of his social media, I think he's got like 35 million Instagram followers.
Mm-hmm.
The girls all over the world love this guy. So wow. Tom is just—he's just such a charming, funny guy, and he really, people love to see him.
All right,
and then also because of him, we were able to get Jake Gyllenhaal, who plays the villain in the latest Spider-Man film, Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going crazy for Jake Gyllenhaal because he's also never done any of these events before.
Right.
So for people to be able to meet him. It's incredible. Even my mom called me the second we got him. She was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to meet him. So it's actually funny, you know, how far and wide he resonates with people.
That's awesome. Well, Garib, we're going to take a quick break, but stick around. We have a bunch more questions for you.
Great.
28 years doing play-by-play for the Bulls, one of the best in the business, Neil Funk is retiring after this season. Neil joins me, Pete McMurray, Sunday at 2:05 on 720 WGN.
Dick, before we were married, how did you know that I was the one for you?
Elizabeth, as I recall, you told me that you were the one for me.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth with my husband, Dick Hochschild, owner of American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. Dick, how do you know when a furnace is about to break down?
I don't. That's why American Weathermakers has our 60-Minute Men promise. If you have no heat, we'll be there in 60 minutes or give you a free $60 gift card for the repair. Plus, American Weathermakers never charges traveler overtime. And we offer a lifetime warranty on our repairs.
You'll also find that we have the best prices on the top furnace and air conditioner brands every day. So now you know American Weathermakers is the one for you.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free
855-955-HVAC.
That's 855-955-HVAC or visit AmericanWeathermakers.com.
This is Rocon, the outdoors, that perfect spot, a place to relax, catch a breath of fresh air, or just stare out over a cup of coffee or a glass of wine. What if you had that every day, not just on vacation? With Arquidect, you can. Your dream spot could be your deck, or maybe your screen porch or patio with an outdoor kitchen or a fire pit. Yes, fire pit. You've earned it. And Arquidect's design professionals create solutions that blend form, function, and affordability. Go to their website, architectofchicagoland.com. Get inspired. Your backyard might not seem like much now, but Arquidect's designers will transform your space into a personal refuge. Why Arquidect? Because their professional staff is focused on design, quality, and service. They're the best creator of outdoor spaces in Chicago. Take it from me. It's the best thing I've ever done for my home. Don't miss out. Start planning to enjoy your summer right now. It all starts with a visit to architectofchicagoland.com. That's architectofchicagoland.com.
Hey, this is Jerry Nunn, and I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. Thanks for listening so far. Things are going great. We are on the phone right now with Garib Shamus, the CEO of Ace Universe. This is a comic convention that is coming to Chicago October 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Donald Stevens Convention Center. And tell us some more about this whole thing, Garib. We want to hear about everything.
Yeah, so we also have some incredible celebrities coming. We have Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor,
mm-hmm.
and people are going crazy to see him. I mean, especially after his latest Thor films and Avengers, people are really just want to meet Hemsworth. I mean, just to, and then because he's with Tessa Thompson with Valkyrie, you know, we have the two main stars from the Thor franchise. Nice. And then also, we have a real treat for people with Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. Mm. So that's also somebody that, you know, is, you know, the most watched television show practically in history here all around the world. And people are going crazy to be able to meet Kit Harington.
Yeah. So people can, they can go to the website and
yeah, you,
get tickets.
You go to the website and check out, you know, when they're going to be there for autographs and take photo ops. And then also, the thing that we also do that's very unique is that the panel programming that we do, because of the boutique nature of the show, we wanted to make everyone feel included. And in so many of these events that people might go to, there's doors where the seating is limited in terms of everybody that would want to see these things that won't be able to because there's just a limited number of seats and maybe a lot of people that want to go. But in our case, we make sure that because of the boutique nature, we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to see. So with every general admission ticket, people have access to the panels. So if you want to see Chris Hemsworth, mm-hmm. you can actually go to the panel and see him. If you want to see Tom Holland on stage, you can go there and see that. And then also we open up questions to fans. So you might even have a chance to ask him a question. And people like love that,
yeah.
you know, especially that kind of interaction.
Yeah, if you ever need a moderator, you know, I am here for you.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
So tell me about the rules for costumes. Is it like, what do they have to do to like be careful about bringing weapons, things like that? Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to make sure that safety is first for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So so we want to make sure that when people wear costumes, and we certainly encourage it, and we like that, and we want to be very embracing of that community, especially since my brother and I, we were the ones that really initially fostered that all over the world and really helped make that popular.
Yeah.
It is safety first. We definitely make sure that there are metal detectors that people have to go through, and then if there's any kind of weapons, you know, they need to be checked. So we are on the side of being safe first.
Yes, great. All right, so you're going to personally be in town for this? Am I going to meet you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
You know, how, I mean, my whole life is around this stuff. So for me, I mean, it really is a dream come true, even for me to be able to meet these celebrities. Mm-hmm. You know, they play my favorite heroes. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I mean, literally for our whole life, we were kind of totaling it up. I mean, we've booked thousands upon thousands of actors and, you know, from these films and TV shows that we love. So for us to be able to meet some of these people, especially for the first time, it's really a treat for us, too.
Yeah, do you have a favorite comic yourself?
Yeah, well, growing up, it was always Spider-Man. I always identified with that character, you know, kind of being an awkward teen. And then ultimately, when I started in business, I was able to reach a lot of people, and I was still very young and always felt this sense of responsibility. So, which is kind of larger than who I was at the time. So, for me, it was always Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's great. And you're an artist yourself. People can go, do you have a website? People can check out your art?
Yeah, it's at GarabSheamus.com.
Okay.
It's my full name.com, or check me out on Instagram. Yeah, about 5 years ago, I started painting just for myself, really, and I got discovered by an art dealer who loved my work, so I wound up getting a show in Manhattan, and I wound up selling a piece of art, and then I got a commission, and then sold more and got more commissions, and all of a sudden, I became a professional, and I'm actually going to be showing my own personal work at Art Basel this year in Miami, and I couldn't be more excited about it.
That's awesome. Okay. So in college, my roommate was Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor in Smallville. So he comes out to these comic conventions, and I see it from the other side. Like, he's exhausted. You know, the fans just take your energy. They, you know, but he loves it. You know, you just sign autographs all day and pictures. And if you have a good time with the fans, then, you know, it makes the day. So.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think we were the first ones to ever book Michael for these events. And, yeah, it was really, for the celebrities, you know, they really want to meet their fans, mm-hmm. and they really want to interact with them. But, you know, they really don't want to do it at an airport or a restaurant, you know, when they really kind of on their own personal time.
Uh-huh.
So these events, especially ours, you know, we really create a very comfortable environment for them to be able to meet their fans in the proper way. And that's why it's worked out so well, especially with us, because you've got some of these celebrities that have become so famous or reach so many people around the world, you know, that they want to meet their fans. They just want to do it in the proper way. And we've been able to create that for both them and the fans.
That's awesome. So my producer, Curtis, would like to ask a question.
Yeah, Garib. So I'm wondering, at Comic-Con and everything, you got to have a bunch of vendors and stuff selling some sort of like souvenir sort of items. Could you maybe run through a little bit of what's going to be there and what can fans expect to maybe purchase to bring home to remember this event?
Yeah, so that's great, because we do have an incredible selection of dealers there and exhibitors. So what we try to do is we try to do an incredible job of curating the exhibitors and the dealers there, as well as the artists and artist alley that we have. So we'll have hundreds of vendors that are selling all the latest in toys and games and comic books and memorabilia, like everything from Funko Pops to movie props to movie posters to comic books to toys and games. What we try to do is make sure that there's an incredible selection, so that we don't make sure that there's 10 people selling the same thing. And we really try to do a really good job of making sure that we're bringing the best of that. And then when it comes to the artist alley, we try to make sure that everybody that we have there are professionals. A lot of shows really kind of bring in anybody and anybody, and it's a whole mishmash. For us, it's really about curating the talent there to make sure that everybody's a professional and that they've all had an impact somehow in the superhero world, and not just through comic books. So, for instance, we have somebody named Andy Park that's going to be there. And Andy designed the costumes for many of the MCU, for many of the Marvel characters, including the fact that he actually designed the Marvel Captain Marvel costume. So he's going to be there. We have somebody, Boss Logic, who's going to be there, very, very famous artist. I think he's got 1.4 million Instagram followers. For the first time ever, he's going to be in Chicago, where he does the illustrations for the movie posters and a lot of the video game and toy packaging. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. We have Billy Martin. He plays for Good Charlotte, and he's an artist for Marvel and quite a few other comic books. So we really have an incredible array of talent that's going to be there, including the fact that Microsoft and PlayStation are going to be there, and we're going to be doing a lot of gaming as well on the floor. So really excited about that too.
Awesome, Garib. Well, we've run out of time. I wish I could talk to you more, but I'm going to meet you at ACE, and I will be able to talk to you there. So thanks so much for calling in, and we'll see you next week.
I really appreciate it. Really looking forward to seeing you guys.
All right, we're going to take a break now, and we'll be back soon. All right, this is Jerry Nunn. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. That's Jerry, N-U-N-N, at nunontherun.com. I am taking you to church on a Sunday morning, October 6th. Wow, I can't believe we're already into October. Tons of events all over town that I've been talking about so far in the show. We've had some great guests in. Gosh, I've like learned so much already. Just talking to the owner of Replay Lincoln Park, and then the Ace Comic Con. I think I could have talked all day with Garib, because I grew up on comics. I learned to read on them. I am the biggest nerd, and I'm so excited about the comic convention. Now there's like all these different ones. There's like Wizard World. There's C2E2. They're just almost, you know, every 4 months there's somebody new flying into town. But I love the celebrity aspect to it. I love everyone. My favorite thing about these comic conventions is the fans get to be a hero for a day. Like, they get to dress up and they are special and everybody wants their photo. And to me, that's even better than any celebrity that could fly here. I just love it. The local aspect to it, and the people that are sometimes made fun of for being different. And I am there. Like, I know what that's like. And it is just a wonderful thing to see. I mean, just see the kids and all different types, the diversity, the people that come out to these comic conventions. They're really popular. And the Midwest ones are really special. You know, you go to San Diego, and this is a huge monster, right? It is. They're promoting movies. They're doing all kinds of, you know, all kinds of screenings, the panels. You know, it is a huge, huge thing. The Midwesterns are a little more manageable. And I think that we appreciate celebrities in Chicago more than, you know, because LA, they're everywhere, you know, and New York. And something about Chicago has just been such a thing. And I love it when they come into town. I get a quick interview sometimes and get to talk to them. It means a lot to me, and especially a kid maybe, you know, that I grew up in the South and I didn't fit into the mold like everybody else. And it's just a special time for me. So there you go. So my voice is a little wonky on that last segment with Garib. The reason behind that is I was bartending before I got here, and I was trying to take care of my voice because now I'm kind of learning by doing these radio segments that, you know, you have to really take care of your voice and you can't just scream it out at a bar. I tried to do that. That did not work so well the next day when I was doing a radio segment. And this one, I was like, I'm going to conserve my voice. You know, I will talk to the guests and get this wedding, you know, going, but I was going to take care of myself a little bit. And so, yeah, my voice is going to be a little, you know, hot and cold, but there you go. That's the whole reason behind that. So we have some shows coming in town this coming up. Madonna is coming to Chicago. That's going to be turning our world upside down. She's here for a bunch of dates at some intimate shows in the Chicago Theater. You know, you might not think the Chicago Theater is the most little, you know, small little venue for her, but she's used to doing big stadiums and the United Center and things like that. This time, she's doing a series of shows. This is October 15th, 16th, 17th, the 21st, 23rd, 24th, and 27th. This is her Madam X tour. Madonna, who is a big icon and has had this amazing career of different, changing different styles and different songs, and has been such a hit maker for so many years. The new music, you know, people can say what they want about it. She's very artistic these days and, you know, getting up there and, you know, really still puts on a show. So I'm interested to see what she's going to do. I know there's going to be some acoustic stuff to this. I'm hoping to get a ticket to see what this is like. They've done some lottery stuff, tried to, you know, keep the scalpers at bay and really help the fans get tickets, but she's already delayed some stuff. So you know how Madonna is. She's going to run a little late, so you might not have to get there right at the start time. But I'm excited about seeing her. Live Nation is handling these shows, and I'm very interested to see what she's going to do. She does not allow phones, so you can either leave those at home. I bet they're going to have those sealed bags that you have to put the phone in at the Chicago Theater, which I've done a few comedy shows like that. And then for people that are impatient like me and like to get in and out, they actually just pop up in the bag really fast, and you get your phone out. You carry it with you. You have to have it turned off. This is what I think is going to happen, because I have not, you know, Madonna may shake things up, but the past shows I've been at, you put them in a bag, they seal it, and then when you're leaving, they open it up, and there you go. So you don't have to do like a check, like a, you know, a coat check or something like that. It's not like that, because that would take a long time with that many people at the Chicago Theater. So I'm interested to see what she's going to do. And you just never know with Miss Madonna. So Miss Ciccone. So I'm excited about that coming up. Hugh Jackman is doing the United Center. Speaking of the United Center, October 11th. And he's going to be doing some Greatest Showman kind of stuff. And he's always such a big entertainer. So I'm excited to see him in such a big venue. So I may go to that show before I head out to Ireland. So it's going to be, October is just a big, crazy month with all of, you know, the costumes, Halloween, you know, the weather is kind of changing, but I think it's going to hold out through the end of October. I actually love the weather right now. Like this is my jam. I can go like this for a long time, throw on a little jacket, walk around. You can just feel fall is in the air in Chicago, and it's just a great time to be here. So hope everyone's enjoying that. So it's National Day. I check on the Nationals, what we have coming on. So October 6th is National German American Day. This Sunday, October 6th, is National Orange Wine Day. I don't know where they came up with that, the orange wine. I did not serve any orange wine while I was bartending tonight. National Coaches Day. So that's a great thing. Coaches are such important people. I mean, look at what they develop and everything. National Mad Hatter Day. I don't know where that comes from either. I actually have a Mad Hatter hat at home I borrowed from a friend for a DJ gig.
I do too. I have one that I actually got while I was at Disney one year.
How is that? How do we both have Mad Hatter? We should have worn them. Oh, that would have been so fun if we had known.
That would have been really funny.
Yeah. We'll have to do that. It's National Plus Size Appreciation Day. Okay, now that is...
Start playing some Lizzo music.
We got Lizzo. Oh, my gosh. Body positivity. So good. I love that there's a day for that. That's awesome. And it's National Noodle Day. So there you go. I might have some noodles later for lunch. National Day Calendar. So I looked up the National Day Calendar because I think it's kind of fascinating. The whole idea of having these different national days and what you can do with them, right? I mean, I think it's kind of a fascinating thing. And how does it even happen? Like, where do people... So apparently, this website, the National Day Calendar, has all kinds of... You can apply, and then they source, 20,000 media outlets talk about this. So it's like a big thing. Now, they don't let... just regular people start their own day. It has to be, at this point in the game, it has to be like, the applications have to be, first of all, they have to be at least 6 weeks before the day on the current calendar year. It has to be, they don't, for individuals, they do not do it. The applications are removed from the list, so don't even try that. It has to be like they're accepting them for companies and organizations at this time only. So if you have a company or organization, it's a big boon to your business. So if you're doing like a cupcake day or, National Cookie Day, it really affects business. It's fascinating that people get so into it. And all the odd kind of days that we've talked about for October 6th. I mean, some of these... pretty funny, but they've limited, so it's not out of control. I mean, there's about six of them, so anyway, check out your national day and celebrate responsibly, and we're going to take a break. This is Jerry Nunn. I'm filling in for Dave Plyer, and we have been having such a great show. I have had a blast so far, and we still have one more person that we're going to talk to, one more guest on the show. Her name's Belinda Chang, and she is a lifestyle expert, and she is... knows all about wine. So we're going to hear all kinds of stuff. If you guys have questions or you want to just call or text in, we would love to hear from someone listening in the audience at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Just text and give us a call either way. And you have a question for Belinda, you want her to fix your life. I'm interested to talk to a lifestyle expert. So we're going to have a great time talking to her. So that is coming up. We're getting her on the phone and find out what's new in Belinda Chang's world. So I'm excited about getting to know her a little bit. Do you want to say the Beer and Bacon Classic is one of my favorite events here in Chicago. And that is coming up on October 12th, next weekend at Soldier Field. This is for the fifth year. So I've been going about, this is going to be my third year, I believe. And I have such a great time. It's in Soldier Field, and you go, they have a few sessions. I definitely recommend doing the VIP. They have a general admission for $49, or VIP is $115. It runs from 2 to 5 p.m. The VIP gets you in an hour early. Tickets are at baconandbeerclassic.com. Once again, that's tickets are at baconandbeerclassic.com. You're going to get all kinds of samples of, the craft beers, every kind of beer that you can imagine. And then, dishes that have bacon involved. And the samples are going to be from like Joy District, Chicago Q, Devonte, one of my favorites. So you're going to get over 100 beers and ciders kind of just mixed in. And you go around to each of the different stations, and it goes the whole circle of Soldier Field. So you enter in, the front. They'll get you checked in. Then you just walk around. You can go clockwise, counterclockwise. You might start drinking some beer and you might go like, you know, back and forth. Who knows? They have some nice VIP areas I remember in the past. So I'm sure that will be a part of it, which is nice to kind of get away. The crowds get really, really crazy. So I would recommend the VIP would actually be worth it. Definitely. So if you get a chance to go to this event, I have just had such a blast. It's a nice way to spend your, you know, weekend afternoon and really sample some stuff and discover what kind of cider you like. I mean, there's so many different ciders out there now. How would you even know like what to get unless you're doing a little sample? You know, I think, you know, just pace yourself would be some recommendations from what I've learned from the past. There's lots of fun little photo ops along the way. You can take a shot of yourself with the, you know, with the field in the background, the iconic Soldier Field. That's always an option. Hopefully the weather's nice. I mean, but even if it rains, you're underneath. So you're not out there exposed in the rain. I've gone on a rainy day before. I think last year was kind of drizzly. But it did not dampen our spirits. We had a great time with the bacon and, such a good time there. So, I really recommend going to that. It's a lot of fun. You know, I just read this thing about some food coming up. I've read this thing about this new treat in Ecuador. I've done a travel story in Ecuador before. They have guinea pig ice cream over there. It's the craziest thing.
That sounds gross.
I had guinea pig when I went to Ecuador. It was crazy. You have to try.
It still sounds gross.
You got to try the local cuisine, no matter how gross and how crazy it is. We'll have to ask Belinda if she's had any of this.
She'll wake up and answer her phone.
Oh, she's not answered her phone yet. Oh, we got to get a hold of her. So I need to fix my life now, Belinda. So we'll keep trying to get her on the line. But I've been doing travel stories for quite some time, and looking forward to going to Ireland for the first time coming up in a few weeks. We had an out, coming up in 2 weeks. Oh, 2 weeks from Sunday, I will be flying out to Dublin and hanging out with some reporters and checking out the scenery. I have never been. Going to go to Northern Ireland too and check out some castles. We were talking about Game of Thrones before, and they have a whole tour that you can do where it was filmed, and I'm looking forward to all that. So that will be part of my game plan. Ecuador was another world. We did a lot of hiking when I was out there. You learn like your medicines are coming from different parts of trees and things like that. So I am always up for a good travel story. I've been doing that for a long time. You can follow it at nunontherun.com. I started a new segment called The Flying Nun, and that's my travel segment. I just did a story. We talked about Universal Studios and me going out for the Harry Potter stuff. But they have a new Jurassic World ride out there in Universal, which was a blast to try.
I went to the new Star Wars line at Disney World.
How was that?
About a month ago. That was a lot of fun.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Really, really well put together. Okay. Really detailed. Lots of fun little things around there. You can get like a little droid or grenade sort of sized Coca-Cola bottle.
Okay.
And that was really cool. It just really well done, put together, like tons of details. If you're a Star Wars fan, I can't recommend going and checking out enough. It's a really cool little space to go get your Star Wars fix on things. And sadly, I didn't get to go on the Millennium Falcon ride. That was the biggest attraction there. The wait was like 200 something minutes, so it was just completely out of my time frame to go sit in there and try to get on the ride for.
I know that they were concerned that it was going to be such a the lines were going to be crazy and it was going to scare fans away and stuff. So I know there was a lot of concern about that, but I heard that it's not been that bad so far. So I don't know.
What? The one in Disneyland I know hasn't had a ton of attendance so far, actually, compared to like Disney World. But the one in Disney World is definitely much bigger. There's a lot more stuff. One of the cool things that I wanted to do, I just didn't get the chance to get to it, was you can actually create your own lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Like actually like the handle, the decals, the color, all that sort of thing. You can customize and totally build your lightsaber from scratch, and that looked really cool. I really wanted to try that out.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. So that was one of the unique attractions besides the actual ride that's there, too.
How expensive was this place?
Well, it's part of the Hollywood Studios park. It's not like its own theme park. Mm-hmm. But you just basic park ticket into Hollywood Studios, and you can go enjoy it. That's also where the new Toy Story Land opened, which was about a year and a half or so ago when that opened up, too. So there's a ton of stuff there that you can check out down at the Disney parks.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got to try that. That's so cool. Yeah, I had a great time at Universal Studios. It was like, I just liked all the characters and taking photos and just running around like a crazy person, like a little kid. So, yeah, I had a really great time out there. So, yeah, the Mummy ride was a little too fast for me. It was over quick, but it was pretty wild. The Walking Dead had a whole section where you walk around through a whole maze and all that, but it didn't really blow my socks off. They're always changing it, coming up with new things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Miss Belinda, is she going to be, if you tried her a few times?
We have plan B here if we don't get her on. I'll bring that into you during the news break coming up.
Oh, okay. Here. All right, well. We won't worry about it, but I was ready for her to fix my life. Maybe I'll have to have her on a different show if it doesn't work out this time.
A time slot where she's not falling asleep.
You know, I mean, it is hard to, you know, book people at this time. It just depends on what time frame they're on, and, you know, I get it. Maybe she had some wine. Who knows? All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully we'll catch Belinda on the line in a sec. Hey, this is Jerry Dunn, and I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. So we had scheduled Miss Belinda Chang to give us some lifestyle advice, but she's apparently had too much wine and maybe just sleeping it off. Who knows? Miss Belinda. So we're going to go to a segment that I was used to doing when I filled in. So we're going to talk about upcoming things that happened in different years, and this is something that Dave Plyer loves to do. So we're going to honor him and talk about some really cool facts, and then Raj, I'm going to need your help, you know, on that.
Okay.
Any kind of expansive things that you know about, any of this kind of stuff. So let's go through it. All right, today. Oh, we got to go to news first, and then
yeah, got to do news first.
We'll do the news, and then
Dave Schwann is in. And,
right.
Yeah, Dave. Okay. I think he's younger than I, so he's much younger. He emphasized. So I think he remembers more.
Okay.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Kind of the older you get, some of the little gray matter kind of fades away, and so I think he remembers more.
Okay.
Even though I was around when sand was actual currency. I think he's going to be the one to help you out.
Okay, perfect.
I can get you going through the news, and then
yeah,
you guys take it from there.
All right, let's go to news.
All right.
Ask not.
Those circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
All right, this is actually not Dave Plyer. It's Jerry Nunn, and I am filling in for Dave Plyer. And we've had a great show so far. We are going to finish it out with Today in History in honor of Dave Plyer, a segment that he's done forever. And Dave Schwann is going to bounce off some ideas and we talk about some cool things in history. Today is Sunday, October 6th. This is the 279th day of 2019. And there are 86 days left in the year. Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Let's not count the days until Christmas yet.
Okay.
The shopping days.
Right.
That alone for a while.
Right. We'll see. I mean, Halloween is looming over us, though. It's coming up. So
it sure is. Mm-hmm. I was in Macy's the other day, and they actually were starting to put up Christmas decorations, though.
They don't mess around. I'm really
And the Halloween candy, of course, was out right after Labor Day.
Costco had the Christmas decorations up at end of September.
Is that they really?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. They had it all out ready to go.
Wow. I like to go to Macy's, the big tree trimming thing when they, you know, turn on the tree.
Oh, sure. That's a tradition, but that comes at the appropriate time.
Right. It's coming soon, though. Yes. So let's talk about some highlights in history right now. In 1927, the era of talking pictures arrived with the opening of The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson, a feature containing both silent and sound synchronized sequences. Wow.
That is an amazing film.
I didn't realize that was the first, like,
that was the first one. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Al Jolson. And as you just mentioned, it is a mixture of silent film and then a soundtrack. There's some dialogue between the jazz singer and actually his mother, Al Jolson's character, and his mother in the film. There's some dialogue. But think about how amazing that must have been. In 1928, you're sitting in a movie theater, and now you're seeing people in front of you not only moving, but talking. And you know they're not really in the room.
Yeah.
That would have been really, really something.
Well, they probably just didn't think that could even happen. And then it did. Yeah. Now, is this similar to, like, the jazz singer of later with Neil Diamond?
No, different. Different. The same title, but a different type of story, as far as I know. Yeah.
Mm. So it's like A Star is Born, where there's different versions, completely different.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty good way of putting it, yes.
Huh. I love some Neil Diamond. He's so great. All right, another one. In 1973, war erupted in the Middle East as Egypt and Syria launched a surprise attack on Israel during the Yom Kippur holiday. Israel, initially caught off guard, managed to push back the Arab forces before a ceasefire finally took hold in the nearly three-week conflict. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. War erupted back then. So it had a surprise attack, like on a holiday. I wonder how that even works. In 1979, Pope John Paul II, on a week-long U.S. tour, became the first pontiff to visit the White House, where he was received by President Jimmy Carter. All right. In 1979. Jimmy Carter turned 90-something this week, didn't he? He's, like, getting up there.
Well, he's 90. He's almost in his mid-90s now.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Carter's like
an amazing, you know, and surviving cancer like he did.
Right.
It's terrific.
Yeah, yeah. So he's still doing well. 2004, the top U.S. arms inspector in Iraq, Charles Delfour, reported finding no evidence of Saddam Hussein's regimen and had produced weapons of mass destruction after 1991. So there we go. 5 years ago, the Supreme Court unexpectedly cleared the way for a dramatic expansion of gay marriage in the United States as it rejected appeals from 5 states seeking to preserve their bans, effectively making such marriages legal in 30 states after that. So that was only 5 years ago? How can that even be?
What, 2014?
Yeah.
That's 5 years ago.
I cannot believe that. I mean, it feels like it's been legal for so long. I don't know what that comes from, but I feel like it's been a long time, more than 5 years. That's just so crazy. It's like impacted so many people that I know, and it was just such a big thing. I think people were scared of gay marriage. They were really, you know, just freaked out about it and thought the world was going to change and go crumbling down, including, you know, my mom. It hasn't changed. It's, the world has kept on going and everyone's fine and nothing happened. I don't know. It's just been such a roller coaster with all that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I think also, you know, I think Chicago and January's coming up quick, right? I mean, we're getting into the legalization of marijuana, and I think it's the same kind of thing. People in their heads think the world is going to come crashing down if something's legalized, and it's just I don't think it's going to be that kind of thing. It's just it's not going to change everything. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think it'll bring some nice revenue in. That's for sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's no secret. Any sort of concert or sporting event or wherever you go, there's somebody that's snuck it in somehow. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I know people who do it.
Right.
Just as long as it can be treated as if it were, you know, tobacco products, I don't see any issue with it personally.
And I know the city is making an effort to, you know, kind of, you know, put into place where, you know, you could use this recreationally and where you can't or shouldn't, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's then distribution centers, you know, where it's going to be sold, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of, well, you know, changes that will take place, maybe not right away at come January 1st, but eventually, you know, put into place as to where this can happen. A lot remains to be seen on how this is going to work.
Yeah.
You know, and how it will play out.
Right. I think there's going to be like a learning curve.
There will be a learning curve. Yeah.
And how people are. But the reason I compare the two of them is because people catastrophize something. They like think it's going to be the end of the world. They're scared of the unknown. And then when things are passed, it's not a big deal. Gay marriage did not hurt anybody. Life went on. It's not a big deal. It doesn't affect, you know, if you're not getting gay married, then, you know, it doesn't affect you, right? So it's kind of that same kind of, I think it's the same mindset because, you know, California has already been through it and,
Colorado too.
Yeah. And Colorado, and it's only been good things that have come from it, really. Or it actually turns into not a big deal. So that's why I'm comparing those two. All right. Let's look into some more history. Let's see. Oh, that was the gay marriage one. What else do we got? President 1949, President Harry S. Truman signed the Mutual Defense Assistance Act, providing $1.3 billion in military aid to NATO countries. Huh. Okay. There was another thing about Jimmy Carter. In 1976, President Gerald R. Ford, in a second presidential debate with Democrat Jimmy Carter, asserted there was no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe.
I remember that.
Okay.
I remember watching that. And I don't know what was going through President Ford's mind at the time, saying that there was no communist domination. And he was specifically talking about Poland.
Mm.
I don't know what was going through the president's mind at the time. Obviously, in 1976, during that debate, all of Eastern Europe was communist. So that was, you know, I don't know, it was a big mistake on his part. That's not what cost President Ford the election. What cost the president the election was the pardoning of Richard Nixon.
Okay.
And that came back to haunt him. I think he may have realized that when he did pardon the president. Mm-hmm. But there was, you know, and the fact that, you know, he was part of the Nixon administration. And so when Carter became the nominee, 1976, people wanted perhaps something different, and that's why President Carter was elected. 1 year term, and then lost by really a landslide to Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Wow.
But I remember watching that debate and thinking, what are you thinking?
Shawnee, I think you've answered this before, but who's your favorite president?
I don't know if I have just one. Of course, Lincoln is up there.
That's what I thought you've said before.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln is up there. Harry Truman is up there. Franklin Roosevelt. You know, people like that. The big names, really, among them. Some years back, there was an exhibit at what is now the Chicago History Museum, then called the Chicago Historical Society, on George Washington. And George Washington, you know, is in the distant past, and we think of him as, you know, the father of his country and all of that. But think about what that man had to do. There had never been a president of the United States before.
Yeah, the example he had to set.
Exactly. The example that he had to set. And if you go to New York City, of course, I'm a nerd for this type of thing. You know this, Curtis. If you go to New York City, in Lower Manhattan, there is a building there called Federal Hall. And it is a replica, more or less, of the building, the spot where George Washington first took the very, very first oath of office and to become president. And there's a wonderful exhibit explaining about what happened and quotes of what he said and recollections that were written down from people that were there saying that Mr. Washington sounded rather nervous. Well, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
You know, because in his mind, he's thinking, we just beat the most powerful country in the world. You know, 8 or 9 years of Revolutionary War took a huge toll, and we're starting from scratch. What do we do? So, you know, look into George Washington. You might have a newfound admiration for the man.
Nice. Okay.
I think I remember hearing you talk about Abraham Lincoln and a few others on your...
Same thing with Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah. I would say you and John Hanson have a huge thing for presidents.
Yes.
And I would say, I thought I remember you guys talking about
that. Every time we see each
once.
Other, we say, now we're going to do that podcast, right?
Yeah.
There you go. We haven't done it yet. What would you call it? What would you call your presidential?
I don't know. President talk or something like that.
Yeah, thoughts on the prez.
Yeah, something like that.
Nice.
Something
All right. Like that. Well, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. This is Jerry Nunn, and I'm filling in for Dave Plyer. We want to say thank you guys for listening and sticking with us today. It's been a really interesting, fun show. We've had some great guests on here. Some listeners wanted to say that Jimmy Carter turned 95 last Tuesday. So we want to, just honor him. What a great guy. I mean, 95, I will just be so happy if I get to 90 or 80 or, you know, I turned 50 in January. So, it's been a wild week for me as far as turning 50 because I did my first colonoscopy. So that was it was an adventure. Let me just tell you, it was.
What a nice birthday present.
I know, isn't it? You turn 50 and you get to do that. But I learned so much in the process, you know, and just about people in general, because, you know, I've realized like half my office has done that. And I've talked about it on social media, and it was interesting what people said. I mean, this one lady in my office was like, that's a private matter. And I just thought, that's why it's so hard to get people to go in and do it. I mean, it's so important to get this checked for cancer.
Well, and I was going to say, everybody talks about getting a mammogram and everything like that. You know,
that's right.
It's a private matter too, but everybody's so open about talking about that. What's the difference between, I mean, obviously body parts difference in colonoscopy and getting a mammogram and that sort of thing, but the message is still the same, preventing cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just, the whole process is pretty wild. And you know what the cool thing is too, is when you do talk about things on social media, the feedback that you get and the things you learn, and everybody, like so many of my friends want to be helpful or people that follow me on social media. And that was just so cool. Oh, people can always tweet to me at Jerry Nunn, Jerry Nunn, is my last name, nunnontherun.com. But, I loved all, the people kind of giving me advice, what to do, what it's like, because it is kind of scary for people. And for me, I'd never done it before, and I was waiting until I was turning 50, but they're saying to start earlier now. And, everybody's journey's been kind of like different. There's different juices that you drink. You know, the funny thing was, the night before I was, you know, getting prepped the night before, I didn't eat all day. Not eating was like the hardest part for me, just like not eating all day. And they threw a potluck at the office.
Of course.
And so I was just packing it up to go. I was like, and everyone just felt so bad for me, but I'm like, you know, whatever, I'll eat it tomorrow. And then you drink the juice, you know, you get ready at night. And there was a flash flood warning. I don't know if you guys remember on your phones, it popped up at like 12:30. So that was me having a flash flood in my bathroom. So it was so funny that thing popped up. And then I got up the next morning and I went to, you know, the Center for Digestive Health right by my house. I could just walk over. And it was a great, smooth process. People were, the center was great. So, but we're going to wrap that up on that note.